By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight as we continue our study on faith. Lord, that we would grow in our faith and that all of us here would be walking in faith and by faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone has described Enoch's relationship with God this way. God and Enoch often walked together. One day in the cool of the evening, they walked a little farther than usual. Enoch said to God, "Lord, don't you think we had better be getting back home? It is beginning to get a little dark." God turned to Enoch and said, "Enoch, you are right. Yes, it is getting dusky dark. But you know, Enoch, today it is closer to my home than it is back to yours. Why don't you just come on and go home with me?" Enoch did as God suggested, went to God's home without going through the natural process of death. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Up until that time of Enoch's translation into heaven, pleasure and pain, living and dying, birth and burial was the commentary on life. There wasn't much more that was said than that. The scripture over and over again says, "And he died, and he died, and he died." It signified life's ending. Only once in 1,500 years did the death process be broken, and that was through Enoch's translation. "And he died" could not be said of Enoch. By faith, Enoch, first of all, walked with God. By faith, he walked with God. Genesis chapter 5, in verse 24. Scripture says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch walked with God for 300 years, walked by faith. 300 years. That's a long time to walk with anybody. That's a long time to have a consistent walk and time of fellowship with the Lord. And what a contrast it is between Enoch and Methuselah, who is the next man that is mentioned there in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 25. It says, "And Methuselah lived 187 years, and he begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years." And the scripture simply says there, "And he died." It was like everybody else in the chapter, except for Enoch. "And he died." Nothing is said about Methuselah and his relationship with God. Now, the longer you live, the stronger your relationship with the Lord should be. The more fellowship you should be having with him, the closer walk you should have with him. But it's not mentioned there of Methuselah. About his relationship with his God or his walk with God, nothing is mentioned or recorded as to his life. The Bible just says that he lived and that he died. He began a few children, but that is the epitome of so many today as well. They live and they die. Nothing can be said of their walk. Nothing could be said of their faith. Nothing could be said of their service to the Lord. It's simply they lived, they died. That's it. May that never be said of any of us, that we just lived and died. But what signifies that which is important on the tombstone is not really the beginning date and the ending date of our life, but it's that little dash in between there. What we did in those years, that's really what is important. And may we have a testimony. It might not be the testimony that we just got translated to heaven, but may we have a testimony for God that we live a life that is pleasing to him, a life of faith. In order to walk with God, you must be, first of all, in the same step. You must be in the same step with God. To walk with God means that by faith, Enoch stayed in step with God. He did not run ahead. He did not lag behind. Neither did God run ahead of Enoch. They walked together. one step at a time. Sometimes our zeal outruns our knowledge. Other times, zeal is absent, but knowledge is present. And we probably all know people. They know a lot of Bible, but there's just no zeal there. There's no motivation. There's no energy. All of you were to sit down and discuss the scriptures, they know a lot about that. But as far as putting the scriptures into practice, they're just not with it. The zeal is absent, but the knowledge is present. May we be people of both knowledge and zeal. The person who walks with God should not, will not undertake to work for God until he knows the will of God. I think the classic example of that in the Bible is Peter. Peter was always running ahead of God or walking behind. He's the classic example of rushing ahead and lagging behind, especially as we think of the night of Jesus' betrayal. There is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had wanted his disciples to spend some time in prayer, but you know, they were fast asleep. One time he came back and woke them up, and they went back to sleep. But when Judas showed up to betray Jesus with the kiss, we all know what Peter did, right? He took out his sword and he cut off the ear of Malchus. Jesus said to him, "Put up again thy sword into its place," in Matthew 26:52. What was Peter doing? He's running ahead of Jesus here. He's not in tune with God's will. He's running ahead. But then a little bit later, we see Peter warming himself by the fire. Scripture says in John chapter 18 and verse 18, "And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Now Peter is lagging behind. You know, I always wonder, why wasn't he with John? But no, he's lagging behind. The scripture says that Peter followed this whole thing from afar off. By the fire, he stood and warmed himself. Under the fire, John chapter 18 and verse 17, they said to him, "Art thou also one of this man's disciples?" He's put to the test. His faith is being tried here. He's put under the fire. He denies the Lord. That's what he does when he's in the fire. John chapter 18 and verse 25. He denied and said, "I am not." One passage says that he even began to curse and to swear, that he didn't even know the Lord. Out of the fire, when it was all done, Jesus came to Peter one morning and said, "Do you love me?" And Peter answers, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," in John chapter 21 and verse 17. Although if you look at the Greek words there, he is referring to a friendship kind of love, not the deep level agape love that the Lord was looking for. Again, he's still not quite up to speed with the Lord. He's still following from a distance. And then on the day of Pentecost, we see Peter on fire. Literally, tongues of fire came and sat upon their heads. And Peter lifted up his voice and said unto them, in Acts 2, verse 14, he began to preach and to proclaim prophetically the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter, rushing ahead, led to rebuke and failure. Then lagging behind, he denied the Lord. And his denial produced bitter weeping and remorse. It always does. It always does. Our tendency is to run either ahead of the Lord or to lag behind. But the Lord wants us to walk with him step by step, to be in communion with him, to be in fellowship with him, that we are always aware of what he is trying to do, what he is trying to accomplish. It means that we will walk in the same step with God, but it also means that we will walk in the same direction. To walk with God means that by faith, Enoch and God were going the same direction, the divine direction. You cannot walk with God and walk with this world at the same time. They are going two different ways. If you try that, you will feel like you are literally being pulled apart. You can't go different directions. I think of Demas, who for a time served God and Paul. But then one sad commentary that Paul makes toward the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul said of his friend, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I think he tried to walk both directions at the same time. I think he wanted to serve the Lord, and yet there was this other side of him that had this love for the world, and he was trying to go both directions. He was trying to please both the Lord and satisfy his desire to be in the world and of the world, but he couldn't do it. And so ultimately, he had to give in to the pull of the world, and he forsook the Lord and he forsook Paul. Kids, you need to decide early on in life who is going to be your master, who you are going to serve, because you can't serve God in the world. It just won't work. And if you make an attempt at that, I'm sorry to say you will probably end up serving the world. So decide right now, decide tonight that you are going to serve God and you're going to give him your best and you will serve him diligently all the days of your life, that you will walk with him and that you will go in that same direction. You know, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It seems to be the characteristic of the spiritual dilemma we find ourselves in today. Church attendance, I don't know if you know this, but church attendance is at an all-time low. After September 11th, church attendance began to climb, but now today it has sunk back to lower than it was before the days of those great tragedies. Church is on the decline. I hate to say it. Christianity is no longer necessary, not a need for many. We must go God's way if we go at all. We go in the same step. We go in the same direction. We go in the same agreement. To walk with God means that by faith, Enoch agreed with God. There can be no peace when there is disunity with him. I don't know if you've ever been in a place in your life where you and God haven't agreed about something. You know, it's not long until you find that relationship straining. And I've never won an argument with God yet. I don't know if you have. But I've always found out that he is always right. And it's better to be quick to give in than to hold out. But to agree with God, agreement leads to the end of controversy. Amos said, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" He's saying, can you really walk together if you disagree? No, we can't. If we are in disagreement with God, we will not be able to walk with him. We have to be in agreement with him in order to walk and to fellowship with him. Jesus advised that you should not hook up a mule and an ox together and try to plow. Their natures are such that they do not agree. Dogs and cats do not generally agree. They have different natures. Sheep and hogs have contrasting natures and are not in agreement as to the preference of their living quarters. Now, you know, we are to be like-minded like Christ. We are to have the mind of Christ. It means we need to be in agreement with him. If you disagree, that's fine to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, could you help me understand this your way?" Because he says, "Come, let us reason together." If you have a disagreement with God, come. God says, come. He invites you to come. Let's talk this out. Let's reason this out together. Because God knows that you have to walk together. You have to be in agreement. Jesus also said, a house that is divided against itself cannot stand. Agree with God. Agree with your adversary, even, Jesus said, when he wants to take you to court. We should find all kinds of ways. Look for ways that we can walk in agreement with each other and with the Lord. Enoch walked with God. Number two, Enoch witnessed for God. He had this testimony, it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. He had this testimony that he pleased God. In one sense, our testimony is what others say about us. That is your testimony. What do others say about you? A faith life is a life of testimony. And it takes faith to have a testimony. The Bible said Enoch pleased God. He pleased him by his faith. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, we need to please God and witness for him. We need to have this testimony that our life pleases God. In God's plan, God has a plan for each of us. God has a plan for you. We need to realize that God also has a purpose, not just a plan, but a purpose for us. High purposes, significant purposes. See a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean. That is the old English word that means average or insignificant. He shall not stand before insignificant, average people. You have a high calling. You have a high purpose. It'll come as you fellowship with God and live a life of faith. As you have this testimony, others say there is a person whose faith pleases God. And then in God's precepts, God's word. God does not call preachers to please, but to preach. There may be some times that I say things that won't please you, but I've been called to preach. Every once in a while, I have to go back to that. My rhema, when God called me into the ministry, was to preach the whole counsel of God. And I really try that. From time to time, I look through what I've been preaching on, and I look for topics that I haven't preached on because I want to equip you in all areas of life. You also need to be in God's Word for yourselves, though, from Genesis through Revelation. Ray Comfort says, I have one favorite portion of Scripture. Begins in Genesis 1:1 and ends in Revelation, yes. Personal experience has shown that there will always be some that disagree. And some can be disagreeable in disagreement. But faith always pleases God, and God is honored when we have faith. By faith, the Christian looks forward to the time when he stands before his Savior and hears him say those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Enoch walked with God, Enoch witnessed for God, and number three, Enoch witnessed God. And because he witnessed God, he believed God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, Hebrews 11:6. By faith, we believe that God is. The Bible nowhere attempts to prove the existence of God. His existence is presupposed by the writers of both the Old and New Testament. They know that it wouldn't make any sense whatsoever to not believe in God. The Bible just opens up by making the announcement, in the beginning, God. Somebody said that five sciences are found in the very first verse of God's Word. Time, in the beginning. Wisdom. God, he is all wisdom. In fact, there is no wisdom apart from him. Engineering, created. Space, the heavens. And the scientific matter and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Some believe their doubts. Some doubt their beliefs. By faith, we can doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. Some say, I believe only what I can see, understand, or explain. If that is so, their faith is not very deep. Just consider this. The following I picked up somewhere along the way. I don't know how you could explain these things except by faith. The cow. How is it that a black cow eats green grass, gives white milk, turns yellow butter, and grows red hair? How is it? By the way, everybody spell silk. Can you do that for me? Spell it out loud.
S-I-L-K.
What do cows drink? Some of you got it, got you on some of it. But some of you probably heard the joke before, that's why. Cows drink water, they don't drink milk. Most people will fall for that one. Try that on your friend tomorrow. Grass. How is it that when grass is eaten by a cow, it produces milk? By a sheep, it produces wool? Or by a goose, and it produces feathers? Elephant. Interesting that the hind legs of an elephant bend forward, while the hind legs of any other quadruped bend backwards. Why is this? Because of the elephant's great weight, he cannot raise his body on just two legs. He must use all four at the same time. Faith believes that God made his creation uniquely and for a purpose. Hatching of eggs. Notice the accuracy in the hatching of eggs. All in a multiple of 7 days. The potato bug egg hatches in 7 days. The canary egg in 14 days. The hen egg in 21 days. Duck and geese eggs in 28 days. The eagle egg in 35 days. Parrot and ostrich in 42 days. And a snake egg in 49 days. Dandelions, those things that you love to have in your yard, which I hope we will be having soon. will grow above their surroundings, whether the grass is 2, 10, or 20 inches tall. The dandelions always get taller than the grass because they must get up into the sunlight. By the way, do you know that the flower for Father's Day is the dandelion? Would you ever consider how? I don't know why mothers get all these nice things, but you know, we get the dandelion. What is the Mother's Day flower? Anybody know?
Mom?
Is it? Mom, that would be. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it's something nicer than a dandelion. Yeah, right? I'm sure it is. But no, really, if you ever stop and thought about the dandelion, really, it could be a good role model. It's cut down, but it keeps coming back. And it grows, it's grow deep, and it grows taller than anything else because it needs to get to the sun. We need to get to the S-O-N. I don't know if somebody thought about that when they said the dandelion could be the flower for Father's Day, but there it is. Beans, they grow up a pole from left to right, while the morning glory grows up a pole from right to left. Seeds of all kinds, when placed in the ground, upside down or sideways, always sprout and come up. Watermelons always have an even number of stripes, sometimes 10, 12, or 16, some even more, depending on their size. Corn. An ear of corn always has an even number of grains. Wheat. A head of wheat always has an uneven, or always has an even number of grains. Sorry. A light crop produces approximately 30 grains. A good crop produces 60 grains. And a bumper crop produces 100 grains. By faith, we learn that God has a plan for our lives. And he wants us to be fruitful, and he'll give us back, as he told his disciples, 30, 60, even 100-fold. He supplies all of our needs. Through faith, we receive strength to rise above our circumstances. Faith accepts the unusual when God is in it. Tree sap. Unusual it is how water, overcoming the law of gravity, can travel from the roots to the tops of trees. Some as 300 feet tall. I know no other thing that can defy gravity to that extent. Eels have two hearts. One heart beats 60 times per minute, the other over 160 times per minute. Electricity, when turned into one box, freezes. Ice, turned into another, cooks cornbread. Fleas can jump 100 times their height. Man, maybe one time. A boy, compared to a grasshopper, could leap over a barn. Would that be cool? We'll go outside tonight, we'll see Seth jump over the top of the church. Iodine will cover 7,000 times its weight in water. Hydrocinic acid, one of the most poisonous substances known. Now, don't be scared, but it's found in kernels of cherries, peaches, and plums. And yet we eat it in those things and it doesn't hurt us. The earth moves in 8 different directions at the same time. The hummingbird, I like those little hummingbirds. The only bird with reverse flight, and that while its wings vibrate over 200 times per second. The bumblebee, according to the science of aerodynamical engineering, the bumblebee is earthborne and it is completely impossible for it to fly. Nobody ever told the bumblebee that though. This is because its wingspan is so much out of proportion to its body weight. However, the lonely little bee, bumblebee, has never heard of this science and, in defiance of logic, ignores this theory, spreads its stubby little wings, and flies anyway. You know, it's funny how we never question these things. We just accept them by faith. But when it comes to God's word, we begin to question everything. By faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God. By faith, we understand that God created all of his creation in unique ways and designed them for specific purposes. Do you know that God created you then for specific purposes? He created you with your intelligence, with your talents, with your personality. He created you special for a purpose, for a reason. Don't question that. Accept that by faith. And realize that by faith, God is going to do something unique with you he won't do with any other person in this world. By faith, we understand that God's works are seen in the small things. For who hath despised the day of small things, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10 says. As one man came to Jesus one day, may we say along with him, by faith, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? Tonight, I trust that you are walking with God in the same step, in the same direction, and in the same agreement. If you're walking ahead of God tonight, or behind him, I would encourage you to get in step with him. If you are trying to go a different direction and you feel the pull of the world and you feel the pull of the Holy Spirit at the same time, I would encourage you tonight to let go of the world and let the Holy Spirit draw you close. Set your feet in the right direction. May it never be said of any of you here tonight that you have forsaken God because you love this present world. And if you have a controversy with God tonight, God is big enough to hear it. He says, come, let's talk about it. Let's reason together. And I would encourage you tonight to take God at his word and stay with him until you can walk in agreement. How many of you tonight would say, Pastor, my desire is to walk with God in the same step, in the same direction, and in the same agreement. Could I see your hand tonight? Amen. Amen. I think it's unanimous here tonight. We all want to walk with God. Lord, I just marvel at some of the consistency of a man like Enoch. Lord, how he stands out as a flower of life in this desert of death of Genesis chapter 5. Lord, may we learn from him tonight that we would walk in fellowship with you like Enoch did. I pray, Lord, that we would all walk in the same step with you, that we would undertake your work as we understand your will. I pray tonight that if there is any here that is warming themselves by the devil's fire, by the world's fire, Lord, that they would shun that this evening and they would become on fire for you instead. Lord, if they don't, I know there will be weeping and remorse in the days ahead. Lord, may they stop that right now. May they no longer try to satisfy the fleshly desires and the spiritual. May they give themselves totally to you. And Lord, tonight, for those that do have honest doubts and questions, Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in greater ways, that their faith might be strengthened, their faith might grow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.